When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, BMW's iX4, Geely's EX2 goes global, and Tesla launch rentals. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you why European bus companies have the jitters over China. Let's get into it. BMW is developing a third-generation X4 as a coupéed roof electric variant of the new iX3, which, reminder, 500 miles, Neue Klasse, very special. There's prototypes now being photographed during testing and a planned reveal early next year of the new BMW iX4. It will be the first X4 with an all-electric driveline. The model's been petrol and diesel only since 2014 when it debuted. Built on the iX3's architecture means that it should be really solid and shares many of the external styling cues as well, adopting a more steeply raked roofline, reducing the second row headroom, but improving aerodynamics, very important in an electric vehicle. Now, the new iX3 can do 500 miles between charges, and the iX4's shape could well make it the longest range EV sold in the United Kingdom. Now, I know that you can get the really long range Lucids, left-hand drive in parts of Europe, but over here at least, that would be our longest range electric vehicle. The smaller BMW i3, that's the saloon, again, same underpinnings, possibly that could exceed it. Powertrains, so if we mirror the iX3, the top tier 50X drive using a synchronous motor on each axle, 464 horsepower, 0-62, 4.9 seconds, 800 volt architecture, of course, charging at 400 kilowatts of power. All that would carry over the new BMW panoramic iDrive with its 18-inch infotainment touchscreen and a very thin driver display which spans the windscreen. All carried over. BMW are on a roll right now. Link to Autocar if you'd like to see some more. Now, Geely will bring the EX2 globally. That includes here for my UK listeners in 2026. Now, if you haven't heard of the Geely EX2, you would be forgiven because it's not a wildly well-known vehicle outside of China. It's derived, though, from China's fastest-selling electric vehicle, number two only to the Tesla Model Y. It comes from the Xingyuan. The EX2 is a compact hatchback, all electric, of course, 4.1 meters long, 1.8 meters wide. So think Ford Puma Gen E or the Renault 4, the slightly bigger Renault, not the smaller Renault 5, and the BYD Atto 2. The Xingyuan has sold 400,000 units in the first 9 months of this year. In fact, it is the world's second best-selling electric car, only beaten by Tesla's Model Y. This is the real deal. And outside of China, when it goes overseas, it'll be the Geely EX2. Powertrains, well, we think LFP cells, 30 kilowatt hours or 40 kilowatt hours. WLTP would be 192 or 255 miles, respectively. Now, Geely, I'm sure you know who they are. If not, then very, very well-known group, Volvo, Polestar, Smart, in that investment they've made into Mercedes-Benz partnership, Lotus, LEVC. They make the London Black Cabs and some van versions of those as well. They're effectively range-extended EVs. Zeekr as well. My gosh, their EVs are incredible. They're launching their own brand, Geely, here in the UK. Okay, well, it's time that they stood on their own two feet and will markets go for Geely? It'll be an entirely new name to so many people. That hasn't stopped other Chinese cars doing really well. There's a pretty much rich vein running through the UK EV industry at the minute with Chinese companies, the likes of JQ and Omoda, hitting sales records every single month now. The first Geely will be the EX5. Now, that is a big family electric SUV. But then the EX2, that smaller vehicle, will come. Look, it all comes down to pricing. There's no doubt that these JQs and Omodas are doing very well because they're priced very competitively. And if not, then they will be when they're used. Because if you look at some of the Chinese brands that came in with intentions of being premium. Now, I say Chinese brands, you know, I own a Polestar, and that Polestar 2, I just tell people it's a Volvo, right? And people go, oh, okay, Swedish. And it looks Volvo. Okay, well, actually, the Polestar 2 was going to be a Volvo. So it's a Volvo, right? But it's Chinese. I mean, it's made in, where do they make it? Chengdu? Either way, it's a Chinese car, owned by a Chinese company. And we'll get onto more Chinese stuff later in the show. However, that is kind of a premium vehicle. I didn't pay premium pricing because I got it used 3 years old from the auctions. But still, Polestars are very premium, but they're not known as to being Chinese, although they are Chinese and you know that. Whereas other companies that have come in here, at least Great Wall Motor, GWM, launching what was then at the launch edition was known as the Funky Cat. That was priced, I saw that at Everything Electric in Farnborough. Maybe it was probably still called Fully Charged in those days, years ago. And I think they were saying, oh, we're going to bring this to the UK, £32,000, £33,000. It was something like that. And now you can pick up really, really good, nearly new ones for 10 grand used. Like, they have been hit massively. In fact, my wife saw one the other day when we had been away on holiday during the break of the podcast and said, I like that. What is it? Oh, it's a Great Wall Motor. You've never heard of it. But she just liked the styling and didn't really care about the name. I thought she might be like, oh, cool name. But she was like, huh. But still, loved the look of it. And that's a lot of car for 10 grand, by the way. So if Geely come in and price it very high, I'm not sure they'll sell too many of them, but they will certainly sell on the used market very cheap in a few years' time. If they are competitive on pricing, I think they would be, then they could join the ranks of those Chinese names that are doing very well. Moving on, talking of Chinese cars doing well, MG Motor hit their 100,000th pure BEV here in the UK at the end of October 31st. Nice little Halloween treat for them. In fact, it was 6 years after launching with the MG ZS EV in 2019. The mighty, mighty MG ZS, which I owned for a couple of years. The first version of it. And I love that car, by the way. MG sells in 34 European countries now via 1,255 dealer partners. The warranty is 7 years. They never quibbled in the two warranty claims that I had. One was the wiring loom broke on the boot where it goes, you know, just it was just the pinch point. Bad design. And the other one was the auto headlights or auto wipers, auto something. It's all that, you know, that little sensor suite up by the rear view mirror that faces outwards. Either way, that went. Took a long time to arrive from China. But they never quibbled, and I had to turn either the lights or the wipers on manually, you know, first world problems. But big warranties on the MG. If it's either not 7 years, 150,000 kilometre warranty. No problems with battery deck, anything like that. The UK is MG's biggest European market, though. And the 100,000 unit milestone outpasses other territories as the brand aims to replicate their UK success across the continental European markets, where EV adoption is accelerating too. The big models are, you know, the MG ZS is still on sale. And then you've got the MG5. My mum has that. That's the estate car. The MG4, brilliant chassis, by the way. There's a new one in China, which is stupid cheap. No, cheaper than that. It's stupid, stupid cheap. But it's a whole new car. It's not the MG4. It's front wheel drive. They've changed it. It's not a driver's car anymore. Like, no one cares about that. Let's face it. They care about the price they pay. And, nine people out of 10. And so that is a very cheap car. We're getting a new one of those. And then you've got the premium brands, IM5 and IM6. Not really MGs. Whisper it quietly. They're sold over here as IM Maybe they're sold as MG. In Australia, they're sold as presented by MG, but they haven't put the MG badge on. I can't find out why. Somebody told me it was because they have to do the crash testing again. Is that true? Just for changing the badge, maybe. And so the MG Cyberster is the little two-seater sports car, which you can get in probably half the MG dealerships. If your local one doesn't have the ability to sell or test drive one, you don't have to go too far to get one. Okay, Tesla is now offering rentals up to 7 days, letting drivers try before they buy. But I think this is actually a huge move into the rental market. So yeah, of course, Tesla rentals, daily rates vary, but it starts at $60 a day for a 3 or a Y. The Cybertruck is $75, the Model S and X $90 a day. Rentals include vehicle connectivity, and you get access to the Tesla smartphone app. You can have it up to 7 days, and you also get FSD supervised, and of course you can use superchargers. No mileage limits on Tesla rentals. That's huge. Rentals may not be driven into other states, though, and it's not available everywhere yet. Renters are going to be 21 years old with a valid US driver's license, a valid credit card, and proof of insurance as well. But look, $60 a day, I know they say, you know, have it up to 7 days, try before you buy. If you like it, then go buy a Tesla. Just in the rental market, $60 a day, unlimited mileage. What can you put on a car in a day? Well, say you've got to sleep for 8 hours, you've got to supercharge it a bit. Then you've got to have it back the same time the next day, probably. And then what's a safe amount of driving to do? I don't know. Depends on highway speeds in your state. 500 miles? 700 miles? Could you add that if you had to do a big old car journey? I mean, you don't drive tired, but wow. $60 a day. That's incredible. And so I know it's aimed at getting people into the brand to sell more cars, but just as a rental company, I think that's a stellar deal. If they did it here, of course I'd have a Cybertruck for a week. I never want to own a Cybertruck because our roads are too small, but I'd love one in the driveway just to play with as a toy for $75 a day. And the S and the X are still really special, even though they're long in the tooth like those. And so that's an amazing little development. Not in every state yet, by the way, but if they roll that out, I think Tesla rentals could be a bit of a sleeper hit for them. Tesla Semi, on the other hand, has been sleeping, and it hasn't hit yet. Oh, man. Tesla's delays with some stuff drive me mad, because they've got all the talent and the engineering and the knowledge and the money. If they wanted to launch the Semi years ago, they could have done. But they haven't, and who knows why? Well, they know. But Tesla confirmed full production of the Semi is delayed again. Earlier in the year, it was reported, I think Electrek picked it up, that there was a report saying it's going to be pushed back into 2026. The head of the Semi project, Dan Priestley, hit back on social media saying, it's all fake news. Of course, the Semi is on track. And then lo and behold, yesterday, last week, when they had the shareholder meeting, they said that the Tesla Semi was indeed pushed back. So maybe those media reports were indeed correct. They unveiled the truck in 2017, and it was going to go into production at the time in 2019. And we thought that's reasonable, 2 years on a program that's probably 2 or 3 years in. That makes sense. Then in 2022, they showed off a production version, and they gave some units to PepsiCo. Since then, Tesla's run a very low-volume pilot line at Nevada, delivered, I think, a few dozen trucks, is what we can say, to customers as test units. Now, the manager of the Semi program, like I say, Mr. Priestley, said during the Q3 earnings call that they are installing production equipment, that the builds should be in the first half of next year. That could be June 30th, though, couldn't it, man? Tesla delays kill me. Annoys me so much because if they wanted to, they could. There's obviously just, you know, reasons. But they got some smart girls and boys working there. And that Semi needs to be out and taking emissions off the road as soon as possible. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Talk about Waymo with Arnik Fives and BYD going overseas. Stick around. Back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, we'll finish off some Tesla news today. And Tesla's retail in China has fallen to 26,000 deliveries in October. That's its lowest monthly total in 3 years. It's a 36% decline from September's number, when Tesla began delivering the China-only Model Y long wheelbase six-seater. Despite the drop, China is still Tesla's second biggest market after the US. Some China production was redirected to exports, with vehicles built in China now going abroad in increasing numbers. The drop coincided with weak October results in parts of Europe, Germany, Spain, Netherlands, Nordics, all being a really tough market for Tesla right now. Waymo and Hyundai are going to roll out the IONIQ 5 with the latest sixth generation Waymo technology. The testing is the next step in the Hyundai-Waymo collaboration for autonomous mobility. The on-road phase lets Waymo validate and refine the next generation autonomous architecture. After testing is done, the IONIQ 5 will be added to the Waymo fleet to provide ride-hailing in some markets. Those vehicles are assembled in the US at Hyundai Motor Group's Meta Plant America in Georgia. That reflects Hyundai's investment in American manufacturing, they say. Now, talking of going overseas, mentioned Geely a little while ago. BYD is targeting up to 1.6 million overseas sales next year. That is according to a new report coming out today. So they'll probably do about a million vehicles this year, I think. I mean, the numbers haven't come in yet, obviously, but they'll shake out at about a million vehicles overseas. 1.6 million overseas next year is the plan, according to this report. That's what they're guiding to as well. New model launches in Europe, North America, and Asia as well. That's interesting. Management signaled some lower investment at BYD as they're trying to manage both that and making money as well. But BYD has built at least eight large-scale factories in China over the last 5 years. Huge growth phase. It seems like many of the Chinese companies, the ones that make it, are going to enter a consolidation phase now, where they're right, we've built a lot of capacity, we have a huge amount of spare capacity, and now it's time to find markets to sell those cars overseas, obviously, as well as at home. Moving on, orders are open for the Citroën EC5 Aircross. That's a mid-size SUV. I think it looks pretty good. Typical Citroën styling on this, some sort of angles and things like that. It's the long-range mid-size SUV. The long range is a 97 kilowatt-hour pack. That's huge, isn't it? 97 kilowatt-hour pack in a Citroën family SUV. Single motor, 230 horsepower, 421 miles WLTP. So we're talking about 500-mile BMWs earlier, but they're pricey. This is not an expensive vehicle. This is 421 miles WLTP. With cells that are made in Europe at the Stellantis joint venture plant in France, Citroën says it reduces emissions because the cells are made close to where the vehicles are made. It's the first vehicle of its type to get the full UK government grant of almost £4,000 and is offered in different trims called U, Plus and Max. And it starts at £32,935. That is so cheap. I know it's a lot of money, but it's, in context, not a lot of money for a lot of miles. There is an amusing story around this vehicle as well, which is not amusing if you work at Citroën. The UK government, in its wisdom, announced that this vehicle now qualified without telling Citroën, which was very helpful. And so people saw the news, contacted their Citroën local dealers and said, wow, the long-range version now starts at £32,995. That's cheaper than the low-range version. So I'll order that one, please. And so the story goes, Citroën dealers were like, we don't know anything about this. And you know, a select amount of people at Citroën would have known about it with very short notice and had to communicate that throughout the company. And yeah, well done, UK government, for not working with the car industry yet again. And really kind of messing things up for Citroën because, yeah, they've got to get their ducks in a row. You can't have the better car now being cheaper because of the government money being off and they've got to rejig all of their pricing. Just work with the car industry. Yeah, it's a bit of a shambles at the minute, this grant thing. I voted for this lot last year, by the way, because I was sick of the last lot. And with great hope, I would say, last year. And although they're getting on mostly quietly with the job of governance, which I approve of much more than the sort of comedy style that we had before, which was a pretty horrific, by the way. But this is just a shambles. This whole EV grant has been rolled out terribly, not in collaboration with the car industry. Look, it's £4,000 off a car, and I'm not whinging about it, but This has been handled incredibly poorly when you talk to people in the industry. And yeah, the current lots are room to improve, let's say that. Most politicians are pretty similar, aren't they? Now, let's talk about Nissan has started public on-road testing of its new all-electric Juke. And they have described it themselves as being a Marmite sibling to the Leaf. If that means nothing to you, maybe because you've got a Vegemite where you are. So Marmite is, yeah, Marmite, Vegemite, a yeast-based spread. It's the best way I can describe it. If you don't have Marmite where you live, by the way, it's an odd thing to try and even describe. But because it has a curious taste to it, which I love on toast, they have an ad campaign which is you either love it or hate it. And so things are described as being Marmite. It has worked its way into the vernacular here. And so that's how Nissan have described the styling of their new all-electric Juke. Again, this will go up against Kia EV3, Puma Gen-E, on the same platform as the Leaf, the CMF BEV platform. Same batteries and motors, you would think. And so maybe 350 miles of range, single motor powertrain of 215 horsepower, perhaps. On-road testing now of the new Juke, but not too... I'd like to just see more of it. We've got some exterior pictures in Autocar, but what do they mean by Marmite styling inside you? You will either love it or hate it. Wow. Current Juke, by the way, in combustion dirty world, starts at £21,000, and they want to get the EV priced similar. So that's all about right with Renault 5e kind of territory of low 20s, 21, 22. That's going to get an audience, by the way. Now, finally, European authorities are getting twitchy over Chinese-built electric buses because they are being told that the Chinese will remotely disable those buses should there be reason to. There was a Norwegian test recently which raised concerns. The probe focused on the Chinese company Yutong, the world's largest bus maker by sales, exporting nearly 110,000 buses to over 100 countries and about 10% of the global bus market. So they're a really big deal. A Norwegian investigation concluded the buses could be stopped or rendered inoperable. And half of Norway's public transport, run by, is it a company called Ruta? I think it's Ruta. Said Yutong has direct access to every bus because they say, well, it needs updates and diagnostics, but those could be exploitable. Some people are talking about how they could trigger a thermal runaway in the battery and explode all of Norway's buses in some sort of, I don't know, James Bond, Dr. Evil kind of plan for world domination? What? How is China going to take over the world by blowing up Norway's buses? I don't know. But they said that tests in a mountain tunnel were done to block signals, compared new Yutongs with old VDL buses. The Dutch vehicle lacked over-the-air updates, while the Chinese bus does have over-the-air updates. And so they said that there's no evidence that Yutong have been controlling the buses, but there's concerns that the cameras could be used. Look, they're not internet-connected cameras, and even if they are somehow through a back door, if China wants to look at my garage door from my reverse camera on the Polestar all night long, they're just going to see, I don't know, a couple of friendly hedgehogs that we have in the garden. Not this time of year, they're hibernating, but you see, like, the cats? The hedgehogs? I mean, China, you're welcome to my Polestar cameras. I really don't. Life is too short to worry about. But Denmark has also opened an inquiry now. And the UK Department of Transport and National Cybersecurity Centre are also reviewing Chinese vehicles and what could be sent back. And that's your podcast for today. We have a new premium partner coming on board the podcast, which is super exciting, and I can't wait to tell you more about them. For now, thank you very much to National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.